Maximum Credible Accident by John Howlett, with Hugh Dixon as Gordon Allen and Patricia Gallimore as Kate. Part 3, The Laws of Human Survival.
Irradiated fuel, the waste product from a fast breeder reactor, is heavily contaminated with the long-living isotopes of strontium, krypton, and cesium, and with the relatively permanent elements of neptunium, americium, curium, and plutonium.
Railway wagons carrying used fuel from a fast breeder reactor were hijacked early this morning by terrorists.
Oh, really?
The terrorists are armed with an anti-tank rocket launcher thought to be capable of breaching the protective shield round the fuel container. They are holding the two wagons on a viaduct near the center of Glasgow while their demands are considered at an emergency meeting of the cabinet
this
in Downing Street.
This is outrageous.
The government is expected to declare a limited state of emergency, and a large area of lowland Scotland has already been placed on evacuation standby.
Oh,
all roads
God.
And railways north of Darlington and Carnforth have been closed to normal traffic.
The blueprint for this reconstruction
here we go.
Was taken from documents found in the possession of Red Brigade.
Turn that bloody thing off, Joss.
The Red Army faction, the Basque terrorists and the IRA are thought to have been offered similar plans covering every nuclear installation and transport in Western Europe.
Hello? No, George, I did not know they were going to transmit tonight. Yes, George, they are indeed. Perhaps devious would be a less volatile adjective. The fact remains we've been caught with our pants down, so we better make sure we're wearing a jockstrap, which means a statement from us in the first editions tomorrow. I suggest we meet in my office in an hour's time. I'll try and get hold of Kate.
You're not going back to London at this time of night, are you?
I don't have much choice.
What good can you do now?
He can try and figure out, Mums, from how many directions the shit is going to hit the fan.
Joss, really?
Isn't there some way of turning up the heating in here?
In the Department of Energy at the dead of night. You're lucky we've got lights, George.
Did you find your chairman?
Yes. I'm afraid he's insisting that we, quote, show some teeth, emphasizing our armed guards and the fact we have, quote, credible deterrent against any would-be hijacker or saboteur.
Credible deterrent? What an extraordinary instinct your chairman does have for inappropriate language. How's the department language, Kate?
Our press statement only repeats evidence that was given to the public inquiry, namely that there will be no movements of fuel to and from nuclear power stations without the specific approval of the safety inspector.
Diplomacy from the department, teeth from the Atomic Energy Authority. No chance of a change of heart, George?
Orders is orders, mate. There's nothing I can do about it. See you tomorrow.
If I'm still in one piece.
Is that it?
That's only the half of it, my dear. Now you and I have to anticipate the embarrassing questions our Secretary of State will be asked tomorrow. Not forgetting it's a Tuesday, which means PM's questions in the House and the risk of a supplementary. It is bloody cold in here, isn't it?
How about a coffee?
On Millbank at midnight.
It's only 5 minutes in a cab to my place.
I ought to be finding myself a bed and breakfast round the corner before all the Pimlico landladies go to sleep.
I have a very serviceable divan.
What's the time?
Nearly 3 o'clock.
I left the draft of questions and answers in your sitting room.
If you could polish them up in the morning.
Sure. Coffee will be ready in a minute. Didn't think you'd like ersatz powder somehow. Mm.
Nice kitchen.
Mostly unused. I tend to survive on salted peanuts and vodka.
Which no doubt accounts for your looking so slim and lovely.
Hello. Anyone else, and I'd have taken that as an opening shot across my bars. Eve too.
Trust the Italians to design sex into coffee.
And that, Gordon Aylin, was almost a boarding party.
Perhaps we ought to commission them to design sex into the fast breeder.
Judging by the photographs of Segre, they already have done so.
At a price. No one could afford to build a commercial reactor to the kind of specifications they've been using, either in aesthetics or safety.
I suppose if you live in a country of terrorism, safeguards are always going to cost you.
You think the United Kingdom isn't also a country of terrorism? My dear girl, you wait until some Irish lunatic takes his Christian gloves off. Once you get a kamikaze terrorist, like the crew they had in the film tonight, there's sod all you can do to safeguard anything against them.
You begin to sound as though you had doubts.
I don't have doubts, Kate. I'm just fulfilling my role as devil's advocate. I'm quite sure in my own mind that fast breeders are as necessary and as logical for man's survival as was, in its own time, the wheel. Though I must admit that necessity and logic are not always my favourite subjects.
Time I pulled the bed out for you.
Give me a blanket. I'll just lie on top of the sofa. You don't want to start fussing with sheets and things.
Now you're challenging my femininity. I'll give you a shout when the bathroom's free.
You soft and graceful girl. I never expected to see the inside of your private world. It's strangely disturbing.
Henshaw.
First blood to us. We have four headlines in tomorrow's papers and two of them with Death Train in the titles.
Good. Now we have to keep that pressure up, Salter.
You want blood out of my stones, companero?
How about the civil servant and his kid in rock and roll?
Lined up for tomorrow. And you let me do the talking with him.
Ridgway's disappeared. He hasn't returned to his hotel.
No panic, Henshaw. He's still in Scotland, admiring the pride and joy of British nuclear technology. I've been spending money keeping tags on him. I hope I'm going to come up with a lucrative story out of all of this.
Congressional elections next week, Salter. Mm. If you don't have a story before Sunday, I'll eat your hairpiece. Mm.
Seen the guest list?
American Big White Chief.
We are part of an international consortium, Enzo.
In which so far the Americans play no part.
Oh, my God, how many is that?
19 alarms in 5 days, Gianni. If Big White Chief wasn't coming, we'd have slowed this reactor down 4 days ago.
The Maremma in Tuscany. The Emilio Segre experimental fast breeder reactor has been running for 5 weeks at an output of 90 to 150 megawatts. Once the reactor is switched into the grid in 2 days' time, it is planned to run it at up to 400 megawatts. Uncharted territory. Only the British prototype fast breeder at Dounreay has ever operated at an output over 150 megawatts and never in excess of 250 megawatts.
Four front-page headlines and Minister a page-three feature in the Financial Times, which means someone leaked the story to them well before the programme actually went out. I thought you had an appointment to see this television programme controller yesterday afternoon, Gordon.
He didn't turn up.
Then that calls for a formal complaint to the IBA.
Stable door and bolted horse, Minister. This media campaign begins to bear the hallmarks of orchestration.
By whom and for what purpose?
Perhaps Ridgway's visit is not as secret as we thought it was.
Is it meant to be secret?
Not exactly a secret, Minister. Low-key.
Look, I hope you realise I shall not endorse anything negotiated with the Americans before Gordon has delivered his policy document. And, indeed, before Judge Pyatt has published his findings.
If Ridgway heard you say that, he'd be on the next plane to Paris, Minister, and we would lose all choice in the matter.
I thought he was on his way to this French place in Italy.
No, an attempted French hijack, which we must make sure is unsuccessful.
Quite.
Yes. Well, no doubt I'll be seeing you both later.
No doubt. Thank you. I'm afraid the Permanent Secretary disapproves of our private conference, Gordon, and my trust in your policy document. Have you noticed how he persists in calling me Minister? Calculated insult, do you think?
Good Lord, no, Secretary of State. I imagine he considers the various Whitehall permutations of secretary rather ridiculous.
Yeah, I've been his Secretary of State for 6 months now. And the two of us are still pirouetting round each other like a couple of virgins on the beach. How's the debate?
Debate?
Between you and your devil's advocate.
I have a file called Muff, working very hard as devil's advocate.
But you're working even harder, I imagine, to account for all that material unaccounted for.
I don't think there are any arguments unaccounted for, Secretary of State.
But you haven't yet submitted your decision to me. And he is following you around.
He?
Black Muff. He's under your arm.
Oh, yes. I better change the colour of the file. Make him less obtrusive.
Muff, page 11. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It is claimed that infant deaths in a 10-mile radius round the power station more than doubled from 14 to 31 during the six-month period following the accident to the Three Mile Island nuclear reactor.
The accident was a one-in-a-million chance.
Period 1957 to 1967. An official from the Pennsylvania Department of Health claims the following statistics for Beaver County in the area adjacent to the Shippingport nuclear reactor, which has no history of major incident or leakage. Figures for leukemia and cancers of the lymphatic and blood-forming systems of the body rose by 70% in the 10 years after the reactor started operating.
Hello, Kate. Am I terribly late?
I expected you from the other direction.
I've been at the AEA, which is why I suggested Soho.
Crisis?
No. Well, apart from last night's television episode. My God, that's some name for a restaurant. I hope I don't have to pay by check. My bank manager would think I'd been misbehaving. Did you know there was once a foreign minister in Burma called Lee Bum Suk? No wonder they decided to leave the Commonwealth.
They'll throw you out if you're not careful. What were you doing at the AEA, if it's not an indiscreet question?
Just looking up medical records. What little's available. Did you know that after the Windscale accident, no attempt was made to monitor medical side effects?
Thank you. You order now?
You better order in here, Kate. It's all double-dutch to me.
Oh, one roast duck, one roast pork, chicken and cashew, crab and ginger to start with, and a bottle of number 9.
42, 25, 39, crab and ginger, number 9.
What's number 9? A laxative?
Cote du Rhone with a Chinese label I can't pronounce.
Breakfast and lunch together.
If our permanent secretary could see us, we would definitely be misconstrued.
An undersecretary with an assistant secretary from the same security-conscious department.
We could hardly blackmail each other, could we?
Perfect equality.
And all relationships are innocent if they are equal.
Who said that?
I don't know. Another married man, I expect. Not that I've ever had a relationship which I believed would end in marriage. At least, not since I was 18.
What happened at 18?
An innocent young virgin went up to Oxford.
Was Oxford kind to you?
It was better than school.
Where was school?
A convent in Dorset.
La Crosse, chastity and cold showers.
Very good training for the civil service. Except I never did any work.
You work hard enough for me.
That's different. I know I can do the job.
And you're not getting fed up?
What with?
The fast breeder.
Feels like my baby now. I want to see him take life.
You've never had any doubts?
Perhaps, when I started. Reading all that stuff, arguments for and against. Everyone seemed so convincing.
So, what made up your mind?
Nothing. The job. The government said we are building the CDFR. That's why Dr. Martin makes me so mad. We lay out the whole inquiry for them, and then he turns round and says he's not sure what he wants to do.
He's frightened of it. Everyone's frightened of it. The Faustian bargain, guaranteed energy for a couple of hundred years, in return for our body and soul and the human race.
Are you frightened of it?
No. I don't know. Sometimes I get the idea we might be rewriting the laws of human survival. In which case, we should be taking great care we don't get them wrong.
Grow, grow, grow.
Hang on. Where's the bloody chorus vocal? Cut! Is he drunk? Hello? Check his cans. Hello, yes, I'm listening. Take it from the top again. John who? Oh, yeah, yes, okay. Roxy and Mick up in the box. Bloody sorter. Let's try and drop the chorus vocal in. Better give him the guide. Okay, Squirrel, you're on your own. Running from the top. What's up? You've got visitors. Sorter to see you. And some American journalist. I didn't know you were that famous. Roll it. All yours, Squirrel. Next time, Angel Face, don't bring a session singer in when he's stoned.
He's not a session singer. Squirrel has magic in his throat if there was someone in your seat who knew how to motivate him.
You go and motivate his limp little rod. We'll turn out the lights for you. Hello, son of a gun, Salter.
My God, this place stinks. Tequila and grass. No wonder record companies are going bust. Hello, Mick. This is Henshaw from New York.
John Henshaw.
He's heard some of your muzak. Wants to listen in.
No! Cut! You've got to swim with it, Squirrel.
Give him a drink, he'll have something to swim in.
Sounds like you're in for a long session.
No panic, Salter. We're booked all night.
How long you two been composing together, Mick?
Talk to Roxy, he's the one with your sort of education.
Seems we've been lumped together as middle-class riffraff.
I thought we were all meant to be middle-class these days.
Yeah, but some are more middle-class than others.
I'll take your credentials as read, then, Mick.
You know my credentials, Salter, and I know yours, which is why I'm keeping my distance. I'm quite sure you're not here to do us a favour.
Come on, Mick. We'll need a few kind words in Enemy if we ever get this out as a single.
Not to worry. I always take Mick with a large OD of acid. Roxy Allen, isn't it?
Yes.
Background right, middle-class, it seems. Father, a doctor or something terribly respectable like that.
Civil service.
That's cosy. Mine was in the DES. See, I already feel friendly towards you.
Mine's Department of Energy. I think he rather hates it there.
Sounds more glamorous than education. All that North Sea oil and fusion.
Fission, actually. He's in charge of the country's nuclear power, and he can't even mend a fuse.
Didn't I read the other day, Henshaw, you Americans are in some kind of trouble with your nuclear stuff?
Fast breeders, I think.
Oh, we had one of them staying with us at the weekend.
A fast breeder?
The Washington man in charge.
I don't believe it. What's his name?
Ridgway. He's very keen. I think my dad felt he'd been hit by a truck.
Hear that, Henshaw? We're now going to bore you with a lot of Whitehall gossip.
I have something to thank you for, don't I?
Lunch was to thank you for putting me up last night.
I don't mean lunch. There was an invitation on my desk when I got back.
Italy?
Segre.
Well, I could hardly go myself. Not with a brief to write for Dr. Martin by the end of the week. I thought you'd make a good job of keeping Dave Ridgway intacto against French advances.
Might have done you good to see a fast breeder.
I think if I was going to Tuscany, I'd rather spend 2 days in Siena or San Gimignano. While you, instead, should be going down to Rome to see His Holiness.
Me and my convent. I should never have confessed to that. Irish mother, you see. I had the full Catholic nonsense until Oxford emancipated me.
Isn't it said to be good training?
All that in built hypocrisy. Did it ever strike you how many edicts and proclamations those dedicated celibates make about childbirth and marriage?
Innocent ignorance.
Not really so innocent. I have a younger sister who believes in her priest, and her life would have been a lot happier if she'd had more of the devil on her side. She should have had an abortion 10 years ago, but the priest told her to get married instead. And when that was a disaster, he told her she wasn't even to consider divorce. Substitute for my sister whole populations of the backward and oppressed, and you get some idea of the scale of moral, spiritual and physical damage inflicted from Rome.
Oh, dear. And I always thought of myself as a would-be convert.
You don't need that kind of crutch.
What kind of crutch?
The universe bit. God's little laboratory. Who we are and why we're here. The intellectual escape from the two concepts the human mind is incapable of grasping.
Which are?
Infinity and nothing.
A lot of good brains have taken refuge with Rome.
Good brains in decay.
My brain's been in steady decay now for 25 years.
It's not religion you need.
What do I need?
What most men seem to need.
Namely?
Difficult to put into words. Something to do with The whole of life not being confined within the walls of one's cave. Now I've shocked you into silence.
Perhaps I'm silent to avoid revealing too much of myself.
What is it you have to reveal?
I've no idea. Apart from fast breeders, I'm a happy man.
So, apart from fast breeders, you enjoy your work?
I'd rather spend my time reading history or cultivating my garden.
Not exploring the world?
Too old.
And home?
Home is the refuge.
Your wife is content to be a refuge.
I said home, not wife.
So we're back with the fast breeder. The one fly in your ointment.
If it is just a fly. By the end of this week, I have to present a wholly convincing argument to our Secretary of State, persuading him of its necessity and desirability.
In that case, you'd better burn Muff.
Muff, page 9, toxicity. 1/1000th of a gram of plutonium, a speck of grey dust, visible only under a microscope, is enough, if inhaled, to cause fibrosis of the lung and death within weeks. 1/1000000th of a gram of plutonium will cause a longer death from lung cancer. In other words, plutonium is something like 20,000 times more deadly than potassium cyanide. And yet, a quarter of a ton of plutonium has been, with official permission, dumped in the Irish Sea.
Dear God. Hello?
It's me.
Hello, girl. I should have rung you before.
Are you all right?
Surviving.
The headlines weren't too good.
The permanent secretary tore me off a bit.
Did you get any sleep last night?
Yes. Yes, bed and breakfast in Eccleston Square. And the smallest fried egg I've seen since the war.
Oh, darling. What train will you be on?
We have a Lancaster House cocktail party for the French President's mob. I'm meeting Ridgway there. I'll try and make the 9 o'clock.
Take care.
Bed and breakfast in Eccleston Square. That's the first lie I've ever told Mary in 27 years. What was so abnormal about sleeping at a colleague's house after a late session at the office? And who more innocent than Kate? You're beginning to lose your grip on reality, Gordon Aylan.
Seen Squirrel Solder?
Mm? He's asleep on the piano in the next door studio.
Let's get these vocals finished.
We'll be moving on. I enjoyed our talk, Roxy.
Nice meeting you. So long.
We'll let you know how the song goes.
You do that. Charming.
Creep.
Well, Henshaw, don't I work miracles?
After your fashion.
We got ourselves a major Whitehall leak.
Which you are going to blow, unless you play it very slow and careful.
It's all there in black and white. Britain and America playing with each other under the fast breeder sheets.
Tequila and grass salter. You're going to need more evidence than that. And if Ridgway's going down to Italy, I want to find out why.
You never warned me Dune Ray was a dry station, Gordon. 8 hours yesterday, 4 hours today without a drop of alcohol. And a long midnight talk with your AEA chairman. However, we have the framework of partnership established. All we're waiting for is the okay from your Secretary of State, which, I gather, means the okay from you.
By the time you get back from Italy, we should be ready for you.
Good.
Something tells me we're about to earn our drinks. A French embassy attaché walking over to join his poor relations.
The United Kingdom and the United States huddled in a corner together? Turning your back on United Europe again, Gordon?
On the contrary, Pierre. We're even sending Mr. Ridgway down to share your champagne at Sacred.
We had hoped that you also would be coming.
Pierre, you should be ashamed of yourself, such manifest insincerity. This is Pierre Lefebvre, Davy. He used to represent energy out in Vienna.
I do congratulate you, Mr. Lefebvre, on your achievement at Segway. Ahead of schedule, and if reports are to be believed, within your budget.
Yes, everything there is working really very smoothly.
4:03 on Wednesday morning. The damaged fragment of ceramic impacts against the grid for the 5th time in 24 hours. The point of impact, one of the eggshell cracks in the fragment. Half of the crack now opens like a tiny hinge, impacting a second time as the force of the molten sodium thumps the loose end back against the grid. A double hiccup, separated by less than 0.2 seconds and duly recorded on the sound graph. No one in that $6 billion complex of buildings, instruments, and computers has any idea what is really happening inside the reactor. In 4 hours' time, the control rods will be withdrawn another few millimeters to increase neutron activity and raise the level of heat. Unknown to themselves, the operators are playing Russian roulette with an unseen sliver of debris, the size and shape of a bullet.
In part three of Maximum Credible Accident by John Howlett, Gordon Aylan was played by Hugh Dixon, Kate by Patricia Gallimore, and the voice of Muff by Hayden Jones. Dave Ridgway, Blaine Fairman, Dr. Martin, Michael N. Harbour, Mary, Patricia Gibson, Roxy, Kim Durham, Mick, David Van, Salter, Simon Carter, Henshaw, Kerry Shale, and the pop producer, David McAllister. The Permanent Undersecretary, Anthony Benson, Enzo, Terry Malloy, and Gianni, Nigel Lambert. The theme music was composed by Robert Campbell and Michael Shepherd. The serial was directed in our Birmingham studios by Roger Pine.